Good evening. I know it's a busy week for a lot of you. I know it's Making Music Week, and you're tired and a little stressed and ready for it to be over. So I'm not going to talk very long. I'm not going to make a lot of jokes. I'm not funny. And I'm a nursing major. This isn't necessarily my forte, so I'm going to keep it brief. Tonight, my topic that I'm giving is daily challenges. And so I thought, how can I apply that? How can I use that? And I thought of it in the idea of spiritual health. What are the three things that we neglect the most about our health here at school? Our diet, we don't exercise, and we don't get near enough rest, right? I guarantee you most of you slept for 2 or 3 hours last night. You probably ate McDonald's in the last week. And I guarantee you none of you have been on a run, all right? So first we're going to start with diet, this idea of our intake, the things that we put into our bodies, into our minds. We know that we have to avoid certain foods, right? We know that foods high in sugar are bad for you, high in carbs. Oh, carbs. I love carbs, you know. We know that foods high in fat and cholesterol, we know that they're bad for us, but man, whenever it's in front of you, it's real hard to turn down that biscuit at Cracker Barrel, isn't it? You know, or the second one, or the third one. So we know we're supposed to avoid these foods. And a lot of times we know that there are things in life that we're supposed to avoid allowing into our minds. You know, maybe it's, we know that pornography is frowned upon. You know, it's something bad. We know that, movies that are really crude and have really vulgar language, they're pretty easy to tell ourselves to avoid. We know that the people we surround ourselves with can have an effect on how we behave. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." We know this to be true. So why is it then that we have such a hard time sometimes turning away the things that are right in front of us, the things that are placed in front of us, and not soaking them up? See, I think sometimes the biggest challenge in our lives is the fact that we soak up whatever's around us. You know, we don't always think, you know what, this might be bad for me, I shouldn't do it. And sometimes we think, I know this is bad for me, I'm going to do it anyway. Let's look at some verses. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth." So why is it sometimes that we think, this isn't of God, this probably wouldn't please God, I'm still gonna watch this movie, I'm still gonna listen to this song? That's something that we justify to ourselves a lot of times, isn't it? Oh, well, I'm just listening to it. As long as I don't sing the cuss words, they don't count, right? Let's look at Psalm chapter 101, verses 3 and 4. "I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil." I know just in the last week, I've probably set something before my eyes that was worthless. Have you been on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram recently? We don't hate the things that are evil a lot of times. We just accept them. We let them be there. We may not do anything about it. We say, well, as long as I'm not interacting with it, it's fine. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Are we thinking about the things that are commendable, things that are excellent, things that are holy? Are we dwelling and meditating on these things? A lot of times I don't think we are. We're sponges soaking up the evil around us. And so we have to dwell on things like God's word. We have to meditate in prayer. We have to dwell on the way we behave, which leads us to our second point, exercise. Practice these things. Exercise. I don't exercise. My girlfriend loves to exercise. It's like her favorite thing. She's like, oh, I just want to go on a run. Why? For fun. Who runs for fun? Nobody. All right. Nobody normal. So I know I need to exercise. I know I need to run. I know I need to go to the gym, but I don't. Not near as often as I should. Why is it that she wants to go and spend time at the gym, and I'd rather sit on my couch and watch Netflix? When we go to a place like Fried Hardeman, which is great, we go to a great school, but a lot of times we think it's really easy to just go to 5:45, show up to a Thursday night Devo, go to Clayton Chapel singings every once in a while. But if we're not disciplined in private, then the things we do in public when all of our peers, when all the people at church, when all the people that we see around campus, the things we do in front of them don't matter if it's not reflected in your private life. Just like, say for example, you come to church Sunday morning and Billy or Roy gets up here and they give you a lesson about loving your neighbor. So you sit there and you're so diligent, you take notes and you're excited, you're really, you know, engaged, and you're turning to the person next to you and say, man, I love this lesson. I can't wait to apply this whenever I leave here. I can't wait to take it with me. And then you punch that time card out. Because that's what you're doing. You came, you punched your time card. You're in here for a couple hours, and then you leave. So you clock out. And as soon as you get out in the parking lot, somebody cuts you off. And what do? You yell at them. You throw your hands up. You know, hopefully no gestures, but you get the idea. You know? So why is that? Why don't our actions outside of church, outside of devotionals, why don't they match up to what we do here? Let's look at James chapter 4, verse 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. You all know the right thing to do, at least I think most of you do. You know the things that you should and shouldn't do. You know the actions that reflect God and reflect Christ. But we don't always do that. The actions, the things we exercise in our lives don't reflect what someone who is dedicated and devoted do. See, that's the difference between me and Abby, is when she goes to the gym, she's committed. She's in there with a purpose. She's in there to make a difference. She wants to get fit. And whenever I go, I'm going because my pants are a little too snug. I'm not committed, all right? I'm not invested. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of the evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. He says, avoid it. Don't go on it. Turn away and pass on. A lot of times we see the path of the wicked. We see it clearly marked, you know, wide is the path. So we see it, and we say, all right, I'm not going to walk on it. But we don't turn away, do we? We like to see how close we can get to the line. You know, we want to stand right beside it and not get on it, right? A lot of times that idea is put in the perspective of boundaries in your physical relationships. How far is too far? But you use it, you justify the same way in other things. We all do. You justify, well, you know, that song's not that bad. That movie's not that bad. Oh, well, that word isn't that bad. The question shouldn't be how far is too far, how close to the line can I get? It should be how close to God can I get? How far away from that line can I get? How holy can I be? What will make God proud? And I'm not saying I'm perfect. I've done the same thing. We all have. All right, I'm not saying I have all the answers, but what I am saying is if you turn away from that path of evil and you seek God, He'll seek you right back. He always will. So let's look at our third point, rest. It's Making Music Week, right? Like I said, some of you have had hard weeks at work. Some of you haven't, you know, it just depends. You're tired. You want to rest. You want to take a nap. Some of you are napping right now. Yeah, I can see you with your eyes closed. The first two points that I made were about choices that we make. We choose what we take in. We choose what we do. All right, no one decides that for us. But something a lot of times that we struggle with, a big challenge that we face, are things in our head. Because you don't always decide what's in your head. You don't decide what happens up here. And for a lot of you, for most of you, that's a problem. 1 in 4 college students in America struggle with mental illness. If you're not that one, you're the other 3. And those other 3 deal with stress, anxiety. They're overworked, underrested. So mental health is just as important as what you eat. It's just as important as how much you work out. If you don't take the time to rest your mind and meditate on things that are above, you're going to struggle. So let's split this into 2 points. We've got mental health. Let's say you're not struggling with mental health. You're going to be put to the test. All right. No matter who you are in this room, if you haven't already been, you will be put to the test. Even here at a college like Freed Hardeman, you may think, oh, well, I'd never deal with what some other people do. I promise you will. You think, oh, well, I'd never struggle with that. I'd never hear about this. You will. Freed Hardeman's a great place, full of great people. But people still have struggles. People still have problems. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, don't be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. He says it pretty simple. You know, don't be surprised. Don't act like you weren't expecting it. You should have been. Don't be surprised when you're tested. Don't be surprised at the trials and tribulations that you face. Because it's part of this life that we live as Christians. It's part of this life that we walk. So we're going to deal with these trials. But it's how you manage it in your head that matters. You can't control the anxieties and the stresses in your mind. You can't control the struggles that assault your senses, but you can control your reaction. Let's look at Psalm chapter 13. It's my favorite psalm, has been for a long time. Psalm chapter 13, in verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Look at how many times he said, 4 times he asked God, how long? And I'm sure some of you, right now even, you ask God, how long is it going to be like this? How long am I going to struggle with this? How long before you just help me? Consider me, listen to me, hear me, please. And you don't feel like you're getting an answer. But you've got to look at David's butt. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. God has dealt bountifully with you. He's blessed you. He's loved you. Turn to him in those times. Let's look at Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, verses 1 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. See, this is like a before and after. In the middle of that situation, David could only say, how long? Why, God? How long? And now he's saying, God, I waited patiently for you, and you brought me out of it. I waited patiently for you, and I trusted in you, and I praised you, and you lifted me up. You gave me a new song to sing. You might not understand the situation that you're in. You may not understand the challenges that you face. You don't have to. There are some things that we'll face in our lives that we'll never understand the good that came from it. Not ever. But if you look at it with a different perspective, because that's the difference in these two verses, it's perspective. When you're in the middle of this challenge, looking out of it, you don't think it's ever going to end. But when you're looking back, you can't believe you were ever worried that God wouldn't bring you out of it. Proverbs chapter 4. That's the last verse we're going to look at tonight. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. This passage sums up what we've talked about tonight. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Put away from you crooked speech and devious talk. Turn away from that path of evil. See, right here says, you got to think about what it is you say, what it is you do. You got to think about the things that you intake in your life, the things that you put into your mind, into your body. And from that, you'll gain some perspective. You'll see how God can change your circumstances. Everybody in here is dealing with a challenge of one sort or another right now. It may seem minor. It may seem insurmountable. Tonight, we're here to support you. We're here to pray for you. We're here to lift you up, put an arm around you, whether it's just a hug, baptism, prayer. We're here for you. Whenever we look at our diet, our exercise, and our rest, are we getting enough spiritually? I know we're not getting enough physically. Whatever it is you need tonight, church, please come as we stand and sing.
When we walk with the Lord.